101.3 Nigeria Info.
Okay, yeah, that's it. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the nation's number one talk station. Yes, we're back on the radio today. It's the last hour of the morning crossfire. We started at 5 a.m. today discussing Nigeria and the biggest threat facing the name Nigeria, the country Nigeria. As a matter of fact, putting it the way it is, we actually started yesterday at 5 a.m. and we continued until now. That we're about to wrap it all off, the conversation about existential threats facing Nigeria. I am Sheriff Quadri. We're streaming live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right. Nigeria Info 99.3. Let me know what you think about the biggest threats you feel that Nigeria is facing now, that if care is not taken, it can break this country, it can destroy hopes, it can shatter dreams. This country can cease to exist if we don't take care of that one thing and one thing only that's the biggest. Some have said it's nepotism. Some have said it's bad leadership. Some poor government, poor governance. Some citizenship. Some bad followership. Some intertribal conflict. Some religious conflict. You know, a lot, really. But hey, I have Gwalang Olajede here with me in the studio this morning. To talk about the same issue. Gwalang, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Let's start this way. To you, what's the biggest threat that we're faced with?
Insecurity. Insecurity is so huge that it has affected literally every segment, every part of our lives. When you look at things that were even supposed to be ordinarily just numbers. Look at inflation figures, economic.
Yeah.
Inflation figure is being driven by significantly by food inflation. Our inflation figure
That's right. Is
being significantly driven by food inflation.
That's right.
Food inflation is significantly being driven by insecurity. When people are unable to go to the farms to go and farm, those who farm could not harvest. So people were leaving the farms and trying to relocate to where they think is safer. So those are ordinarily things that should not have been connected with insecurity. They are driven by insecurity.
Right.
When you hear all those, we want Biafra, we want to do a republic, you know, those are things that have existed before now. Those agitations have been there.
Right.
But they're taking on new vehemence in recent times. And part of it has been driven by insecurity. When you also think about things like, incidentally, around this time, we're actually making some little progress on the infrastructure side. So you see the rail, the Lagos-Ibadan rail. You see the extension of that same rail into the port.
That's right.
You see some road projects and those things. We're making some progress in that area. But we must begin to ask ourselves, if the country is not secure, even if you give me a good road, I don't want to get on the road because I'm scared that someone is going to show up from the bush and start shooting at my car. If I think that somebody might attack my train, I may not be excited about getting on that train. So it is affecting every segment of it. And see the way our leaders are also beginning to talk.
Yeah.
So you hear someone at the level of a governor make a remark that tend to say some categories of workers or businessmen can carry AK-47. You know, of course, he turned around and said it was a parody or was a... You know, or a proverb, or whatever he said he was saying. But you see, leaders at those levels are now beginning to think and talk as more or less like ethnic chauvinists. And you are asking yourself, what is bringing all of this? At the heart of it is this insecurity.
What is responsible for this insecurity, Gwalang? I mean, let's dig deeper now. What is responsible for it?
It's a cocktail of several things. And I think that is why it has been fairly complex. For a long time, I dare to say that we did not even understand it.
For a long time?
Yes. Here are some of those issues. You have poverty, extreme poverty in some part of the country, complicated by things like desertification. So you have people moving around for a survival basis.
Yeah,
that was how it started. But you see, as part of that survival basis, you now have a situation in which if there are pushbacks, if you say, "Ah, no, I cannot move. I don't want to die where I am. So I'm going to fight you, because it's survival." Before you know it, all those things started to take certain other coloration. That is on one side. Number two, we have the Sahel, where insecurity had broken down. So from Mali to part of Niger to Central African Republic
to Libya,
a whole lot of arms in those places moving towards where there seems to be some calm, you know. So people left all the way from those northern parts. They are looking for where there is relative peace, and they are coming into Nigeria. And here we are as Nigeria, with over 4,000 or was it 6,000 border entries, maybe less than 5% of these are manned. So the rest are like unmanned places. So all these people can come in with all these arms and whatever else is pushing them and come into the country unchecked. In Lagos today, I can bet with all sense of responsibility, now nothing less than 75% of those gate men are not Nigerians.
The security guard, the private security guard
that people put at their gates.
They are foreigners.
Consistently, I have seen that in my own environment too.
What's the risk of that?
The risk of that is that we have a whole lot of foreigners here who are undocumented. We don't know what is chasing them. We don't have any profile of them. They don't have any means of surviving. So it's not as if they have a piece of land they can farm. They didn't come with cattle. They still need to survive. And whatever it takes to survive is what they will do. So poverty on one side, loose borders on the other side, small arms and even big arms. Because some of those arms we see with these people are no longer small arms any longer. On another side, then we now infuse this with a cocktail of religious matters. So there are people who believe that this is a continuation of the Uthman Fodio jihad, that there is this thing about Islamization. They want to touch the Atlantic with Quran. So that is a theory on its own. You have the Fulanization theory as well.
That's right.
That, you know, they want to take over the entire land that is there. Some said, oh, the Fulanis have lost their lands in the north.
Yeah.
So they want to come to the south and take the land. Some of those things are difficult to really establish.
It could also be said, because I've heard some analysts say that, I mean, the problem of insecurity we're faced with right now is man-made, is Nigerian-made, because of our lack of priority being placed on education, on family control, and what do they call it? Birth control and all of that. What's the role of all of these in what you have just said now?
All of this could have helped at the prevention stage. We've gone way above that now. And we just need to be able to cure. This is a curative stage.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, of course, if we had educated the people, maybe they would not have been as poor as they were. Have you seen those almajiris?
I know.
Holding plates in hundreds and hundreds every day, trying to eke a living. When you have a population of people like that, they are not trained in the Western ways. They had no education. They are not skilled. They didn't learn any job. So how do they live? They still have to live. And every year, more and more of those people are joining
Have you seen the roads lately, especially the Lekki Epe Expressway and some inner roads, you know, along the Lekki Epe Expressway? The numbers are going up.
I'll tell you one thing. My office used to be at the junction of Adeola Deku and Aki Adesina.
Yeah.
And when I open my windows, I see all these kids, mothers begging. They are permanently at that junction. They resume before I come to work.
As early
and
as that.
And as at the time I'm leaving, they're still there. I leave them there in the evenings. At some point, I got so concerned, especially because of the children. And I had to call an officer-speaking friend of mine. I said, can you talk to these people? This is a threat. You know, some of these threats we're talking about huge people mm-hmm. with no means mm-hmm. of livelihood mm-hmm. that have grown and become wahala, mm-hmm. is building in other parts of Nigeria. And that was my concern. We cannot have kids who are growing up on the street. They are not getting educated. They are not learning skills. What are they going to become? So, and he spoke with them. Some of them were all the way from the Northeast.
Yeah.
Some have never been to school at all. They've never seen the four walls of a school.
Right.
There were a couple of them that said, oh, they've been in school, whether in Kano or something before, you know, they came here. Totally hopeless people. In the engagement that the lady had with them.
Yeah.
So, education, I think we lost it at the level of prevention.
Yeah.
It is, what do we now need to do to begin to cure that wahala?
That is on the part of the Almajiris. Even in the Lagosians, streets and homes, the 1 million boys, the 5 million, this,
they called that.
We have them, Bolaon. Is this insecurity thing not a bigger threat than what you have said right now?
Insecurity is huge. And there are several dimensions to it.
Yeah.
Some of them are things that we are familiar with and that we can handle. Even the area boys, manage as early as before 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
in Lagos at CMS, the Outer Marina.
Yeah.
Boys are already there harassing motorists. They are not collecting money for any government. Mm. They are collecting money for their own pocket. They are not even with any tickets. But you see, in a way, those are things that the society more or less have accustomed itself to. We think we can handle those. Even to a certain extent, some of those occasional court clashes, mm-hmm. we think we can handle it. We know who these boys are and all the rest. But the new dimension about the kidnaps.
Yeah.
The fact that you can be driving on the expressway and some people can show up suddenly and start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fear that there are some people who will take over farmlands in the West, who will chase the owners away or who will destroy crops. Those are very new dimensions. Coming to join the, indigenous wahala now.
Yeah.
That we have. So it's a total.
How do we activate the remedial process? How do we begin to solve? How do we bring solution to this? Because it's looking like it's quite daunting.
It's daunting. I have an engagement that is meant to take me to another state next week. And yeah. My mind is already in turmoil as to, will I be able to go? Will I need to make up an excuse for not going? It shouldn't be this way. Now, I think we all have a stake in this.
Okay.
Everybody has become a journalist in Nigeria. Well, it's across the world. It's not even a Nigerian thing.
Yeah.
And on a daily basis, conspiracy theories are being cooked. And distributed. Some of these things might contain elements of truth, distorted and, you know, fancied up with people's biases mm-hmm. and prejudices. And we, incidentally, these theories are exciting from the perspective of bad news being good, being excited. I don't know why that is so.
I don't know why that gives some people kick. I don't know, you know, really.
So for us as individuals, I think we have a role in on that side of things. Don't spread news that you're not sure of. Don't create them. Some people sit down and write those news and they spread it. Some people will circulate a video of 7 years ago.
That's right.
As if it happened yesterday.
That's right.
You know, so all those fake news, conspiracy theories on the individual basis, we have to deal with it.
Because it begins with attention.
It builds. Yeah. Part of what we are talking about is anger that is in the land. And it is everywhere.
That's right.
Everywhere you turn. So That is one part on the individual. On the individual side, on the levels of government too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the traditional rulers, the religious leaders. That's at the community level.
That's right.
They all have a role. Now, someone asked a question. He said, when Fulanis collect the ransoms, if when Fulanis are involved and they collect ransoms, or let's say when kidnappers.
Let's use kidnappers.
Let's just use kidnappers. Right. Collect the ransom. Do they stay in the bush and spend the ransom?
Uh-huh.
Or they come to the city? How long will it take you to spend $1 million if you're in the forest?
Hmm.
Well,
maybe never.
Well, some say they can still be buying more cows, something which is possible. But the reality is that at the community level, mm-hmm. if we open our eyes, we can help with the security issues. Because even when people are in the bush and are carrying out atrocities, they tend to have accomplices in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
That is a reality. So the communities, the community leaders, the religious leaders have a role to play at their level of governance. Then the local government, then the state level. We all saw how the Igboho matter has devolved.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, if there has been better level of action
That's right.
at the level of the state's mm-hmm. government, mm-hmm. maybe there wouldn't have been any need for an Igboho to have even arisen in the first instance. Yeah, so if there are complaints and consistent complaints, people expect specific actions that will take away whatever they are complaining about.
But what's going to change? Well, I mean, the emergence of Igboho is a sign of leadership failure. It's a sign of the failure of the system itself.
Correct.
So what's going to change?
What is you do is that you stir up that leadership that was snapping or sleeping to say, look, it is because I have failed. That is why this person has emerged to fill that gap. So I've been woken up from my slumber to say, I need to take action.
Right.
There's a limitation to what Igboho as an individual can do. What is the size of Igboho's army? You know, so if it is happening in Ibarakwa today or is happening in Ekiti, does he have the army to do that?
That's right.
Should we begin to encourage non-state actors to take up the roles of the people we have paid, we have elected to do what they're supposed to do? Where are we going to draw the line? Suppose there's another person that rose tomorrow and is in opposition to the one before.
Yeah.
Then we become a state of warlords all over the open.
Anarchy.
And that is not the direction. So from my perspective, what people like Igboho have done is to wake up leadership to its responsibility to say, now I was sleeping or I was blind, now I see.
But if you look at the way even the leadership now, after the emergence of Igboho and the rest of who would be Igboos that would eventually still come up if they continue to sleep, if you look at it, it seems like they have succeeded in politicizing the issue. The Senate President was on BBC Hausa the other day, and he was blaming the Southwest governors for whatever it is that's happening in the Southwest. He blamed the elders in the Southwest as well for whatever is happening. You saw Samuel Otomo Benue and Bauchi State Governor Bala Muhammad. It's almost like it's now political. Is there ever going to be a unifying front?
It goes beyond political. Political is just one side. It also cuts right through the ethnicity, the ethnic divide and ethnic sensitivities of Nigeria. So, because you look at the fact that both...
Well, I'll just hold it.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. We need to head out now to a quick break, huh? Don't worry. We have the time. We'll talk more. Stay here, Lagos, Nigeria. We're not done yet. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Morning Crossfire. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Hey, yes, we're back on the Morning Crossfire, 99.3. 8:34 is the time from our studios here. If you are listening in and you want to join the conversation, this is the time for you to jump on the conversation. We'll be taking your thoughts in a moment now. If you're on Twitter, it's at Nigeria Info FM, but you must add the hashtag Nigeria Info MCF to your tweet. So I can see it, because that's the hashtag that I will follow in order to be able to read your thought off of Twitter. The hashtag again is Nigeria Info MCF in one word like that. If you want to send me WhatsApp messages, the WhatsApp number is 0809 597 5805. So keep them coming in. For Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. I'm Sheriff Quadri Bolaola Jade is here. So Bolaola, before we get to be taking feedback, you were on an explanation as to the coloration that the governors, you know, are trying, the elders. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not exactly something that could be explained by partisan politics. When you think about the fact that both the Bauchi governor and Benue governor are the same party members, mm-hmm. they are PDP. At the same time, you see the Senate president on one side, Akeredolu on the other side, they are also both from the same party.
True.
So, but you see elements. So
it's looking like tribal inclination.
Exactly.
Is
that's why I said ethnicity.
Yeah.
Ethnicity and ethnic sensitivities are part of what is beginning to play out. So you see the Bauchi governor, who is a Fulani man, speak go in one direction. Mm. And the Benue man, who is not a Fulani man, went in another direction. So apparently, we have shifted to those our fault lines. Mm. And it's a major, major disaster. It's part of why we cannot even speak with a voice to call criminality criminality and deal with criminality irrespective of who is concerned. Mm. So there are all sort of protectionism in some places, or accusation of protectionism all over the open.
Is that then not the biggest problem that we're faced with?
Well, any society that allows impunity to reign, or to even sit, if you even give it half a chair to sit on, you are in trouble. Because when people do something and they do something wrong, and we don't get them punished for it, they get bolder. They do bigger things. You see us today now sitting down with rogues in military camouflage and saying we're discussing with them and talking about negotiating and amnesty and ransom, all sort of things is what we have. Because we embolden those guys over time, and come to think of how senseless it is to think that if I give a bandit money and he goes away, that I will not come back again. It's a ridiculous way of thinking. He's a bandit. That's what he is.
He will always come back.
He will come.
Others will come.
Others can break rank with him and say, if you're not going to go there to go and ask for money, we need more money. And they do the same thing, and you start negotiating with them again.
What's your thought about the Kankara boys? Would you say that we should pay it ransom if they're asking for ransom? Or?
Yeah, this is a new product that has been designed by the kidnappers. Kidnap students en masse. Mm. So because of the students that are involved, or young people that are involved, emotions are higher. These people have been kidnapping adults, women all over the whole place. But if you go to this special product, which involves students, you get more sentiment. You can negotiate better. It's a bigger bargaining chip. Mm. Should they pay? If they don't pay, what are the consequences? We don't know. But the reality is, when other parts of the world where they have encountered similar situations and dealt with it, risk were also involved. Mm. If you remember the people, the Israelis who are held up in Uganda airport.
That's right.
Several years
That's
ago.
Right.
One That's of right. the things that the then prime minister stood for was that there will not be a negotiation. They went there and took a military action. Of course, they lost the guy that led that particular team. But then they saved their people. You know, so it's a way to look at it. Negotiation will always be part of the entire mix.
Yeah.
Don't let me say we can walk away from that.
Yeah.
But we have to show power as well. We have to show
Do we have that capacity to show power?
I would rather put it in a different way. Do we have that will to show power? I don't see the will there. I think if it is Nigeria versus Nigeria as a country, versus some ragtag AK-47 wielding people, if we have the right level of will, we can do everything that is in that mix, what those governors will call both kinetic and non-kinetic.
Yeah.
See, yes. Negotiation is in the mix, yes. Mm-hmm. But where you need to show force, to show that I am capable of defending my territory, you must show it. If you don't show it, you empower those guys.
This will not stop, Walao. This kidnapping of students will not stop.
Because, for as long as we fund it.
Because in the past, we have not been, like in your word now, showing force.
We're funding it. It has become a product. You know, when maybe banking sector or telecom, when they design a product, it has become a product. The product is kidnap student en masse, and they come running to you.
So what's now the decisive way of stopping it? I mean, assault is technically out of it. Launching an assault because of the kind of people that are involved, the student, the kids. Someone said that, well, they might just as well be in a collateral damage. But I get it, because he's not involved, his kids or his relative is not involved. So it's a delicate balance.
It is a delicate balance. But you see, other people, when they make those decisions, like I said, I'm not opposed to some negotiation. It should always be part of the mix.
Right.
Remember what America did. On this same soil, though, about their own citizen that was kidnapped and brought into Nigeria, what did they do?
They came in.
They sat down with the people and started negotiating. No. They came in and they took their citizen and they went. One of the biggest jokes that is on us is, why is it that nobody is showing interest in helping us from the international community? And nobody will show interest.
It's COVID.
Because it's goes COVID. Before COVID didn't come. COVID was the last year while now. It is because they know we are not serious.
Hmm.
If you put your men to help people like these who are not serious about this fight, you just be putting your men in arms.
Sheikh Gumi said we should give them blanket amnesty.
Well, you see, we also have that part of the Nigerian mentality where a section will say, oh, you've done something in that other section, I'll bring my own share of the cake.
Yeah.
So you had an NDDC in the south. I want one in the north. Mm-hmm. So they got one in the north.
Mm-hmm.
You have done amnesty. You even have this is something that we have budgeted for in the South for years.
Mm.
So, okay, bring our own share of amnesty. That mentality will never take us anywhere in this country. And that is what I'm beginning to see here. Saying, these guys are also bandits. In fact, I see them as militants. Let's grant them amnesty.
Oh, you saw that too. They are militants.
It is ridiculous. Mm. This is not how to run a nation. Because they have it in the South. So you must have it in the North too.
So they're trying to, somebody's trying to change the name from bandits to militant. I was going to come to that. he said that they are militants. They've only, the few people that they've killed accidentally. They don't kill.
You know, it is because when that thing was granted in the South, that was a word that was used, militant. Now, it is easy to see bandits as rogues and criminals and that.
Yeah.
So let's moderate that word and start to call them militant too, as part of the basis for demanding that they should also be given amnesty. So at some point, maybe when we do the amnesty, we'll also put them on payroll. And every year we're putting them in the budget and paying these people as militants, like we're doing in the South anyway.
This is quite scary.
But that is
it's looking like we are tearing this country apart with our own hands, especially those that are supposed to keep the country together.
Unfortunately, that is what it is. And I also think there are several dimensions of this that they are not looking at, because most of them have what they have by virtue of the fact that there exists a nation called Nigeria. If everything kaput, who is a senator? Governor of where? All those things will disappear.
They will. Let's hear from our people who are listening right now. 0700-993-993-993. That's our studio line for men and the general public. For female listener, you can call this number, 01465-7190. That is 01465-7190 the female callers only. Female callers, and if you are a man, please don't call that line. Even if you feel like a female but you're a man, don't call that line. It will not be funny if you do call that line. Let's start with this caller, then we'll move on to the next. Good morning to you. Hello, good morning. Just release the number. Don't worry, just release the person. Good morning to you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
All right, then. What's your name, please?
My name is Lena.
Welcome, Lena.
Good morning to you and to your guests.
Good morning.
I just want to chip in something. Those the people in the South, I mean, the guys that were agitating for something, there was something that they were agitating for in the South, something that they produce that is not being given to them. Now, these people from the North that say that they are trying to say that what they are doing is now, that they are now militant. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. What are they agitating for? Now, Nigeria spends a lot of money paying senators and governors security votes, and they are not using it to develop the areas they are in charge.
Right.
And they are making life so unmiserable. I have a relation, very close relation, that was kidnapped on that Bini Ore.
Bini Ore.
And we knew what it took us to bring her out. You know, it's not something that anybody should ever dream of, or, you know, trying to treat it's politics. It's not politics. It's real. It's real. Those guys, we interacted with them. They said some things that they are not happy the way. Even mentioned that the way the politicians are taking Nigeria's money. I mean, the people that kidnapped my sister.
That's right.
All right. So it's not something to, you know, joke about.
Thank you. Politicians
are not trying.
Thank you, Lena. Thank you for calling me. I appreciate it. I really do. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning. I'm sorry, but I can't hear you. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Yeah. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladipo speaking from Orilegum.
We're listening.
Now, you see, this thing can come to an end. It's possible. How? If the Nigerian security system, or especially the personnel, if they decide not to compromise for whatever reason, they don't mind. They sworn to defend the constitution, not personality. Because you know why this thing is like this? Anytime any of them is arrested, they get a phone call and it looks as if they are handicapped. So for me, if they can take a decisive decision and don't mind what will happen, this thing can come to an end.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you too for calling. Appreciate it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Sherry, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, you want to Sebastian, yeah.
Let's talk, Sebastian. Let's talk.
Okay, I agree with most of the things your guests have said this morning, but I would disagree with you when you mentioned the Niger Delta being compensated by the government in terms of the giving the amnesty from the, that was the administration.
Right.
I don't know why someone will see that is a problem of us in this country and some of us who seems to be educated and enlightened compared to the least, the handicap, let me use the word now, come here, instead of them to make things and say things that work, they start going back and they saying things that are not the subject on the matter. You can't compare the Niger Delta militants with the bandits. What are you talking about here?
What I believe he was saying is that we started encouraging what we are now seeing now, then.
Sheriff, can you hear me?
I'm with you.
Nigeria Info FM at me and Crescent. If a federal government discovered oil in that spot,
yeah,
would they just come there and collect everything without compensating the owner of that particular land? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about here, Sheriff? I don't know. I think some of the major problems
Sebastian.
We have in this. Hello.
Yeah, Sebastian, I'm sorry. Your point is noted. You just don't like what Bolan said. Bolan, would you care to explain?
Well, what I was saying was that the governor or the northern leader who said they are not bandits, they are militants.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain where he is going. That's the good.
Yeah.
Where he is going is to say that the way we were paying militants in the South, the North also wants its own version of it. That is where the gentleman is going. So that's my point. Anyway, not to say that paying militants in the South has changed South till now.
Right. Let's speak with this caller. Hello, good morning to you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning to you.
I'm Olua Tosin.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Good morning, Bola.
Good morning, madam.
You have done justice to the topic. And I want to ask Sheikh Gumi, when he was recognized in Saudi Arabia as Sheikh Islamic Scholar, yes, is this how their citizens in Saudi Arabia, is this how they pamper their bandits? Those that are going erroneously to all their policies, is this how they pamper them? I want to ask Sheikh Gumi that question. Not only that, if you calculate the allocation in Nigeria as a whole, three-quarter is going to the north. I don't get it. What are they asking for? What is the rationale for picking up arms against Nigeria? Not only that, if it's not against Nigerians, it is against the north. That they should ask their leaders in the north, all the allocation being given to them, what did they use it for? The Bible that I, as a Christian, read says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They need to educate them.
Right.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you too, madam. Thank you for calling me. Let's just drop one more call. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Yeah. My name is Mama Rose from Alimosho.
Mama Rose, please do something for us. Can you turn off that radio so we can hear you? Because we can't hear you clearly now. You just turn off that radio so we can have that conversation. Thank you.
I've turned it off.
All right, then. Let's talk, Mama Rose. What? Yeah. Let's talk.
Yeah. All these things that we are hearing every day in the radio, most especially in your own radio here, we are very encouraged by at least giving us a form of what is going on. But as an elderly somebody, I am over 60 years old.
Okay.
I was told that this amalgamation that share Nigeria together with North and this our side.
Yeah.
The person that said that they do the sharing, his name is Lord Lugard. And I heard that, maybe it was a story, I don't know. I heard that the man even suggests that he knew that this might not work for long. And he said, if we are unable to be together after maybe 100 years, we should find a way of sharing, splitting ourselves as it's supposed to be.
Mama Rose, I'm so sorry, Mama Rose, because we need to go out on a very quick break now. Otherwise, the advert will cut you off. But Bola, in like 15 seconds, can you just answer what she's saying, where she's going? You know where she's going.
Yes. Those are part of the theories that I think we need to avoid. Not many people have read this document, and I don't think some of those things she's saying exist.
All right. We'll be back. Let's just take this short break. We're back in a moment. Stay here. Flower, we need to go. It's been 2 days of rigorous conversation on this particular topic, but you have picked insecurity as the biggest problem that we have. Then what could be the most effective solution to start with in saying, okay, we want to tackle insecurity?
Well, I think we, as a people, we need to strip it down and remove all the colorations that are distorting our view so that we can see criminality as criminality and deal with it with the right level of political will. If someone has committed a crime, no matter who he is, get him arrested. Let him face the wrath of the law. But if we keep allowing impunity, we ain't going to move. I think the first step is to stop the impunity that reigns supreme in the land as we speak.
Well, Olajide, thank you so much for coming on the Morning Crossfire.
My pleasure. Thanks always, for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you. Lagos, I have to go now. Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu is next time. Sheriff Quadri. I'm on Twitter @SheriffQuadri. The news is next at the top of the hour.
Do you need ready to meet up your goals for the year? Then here's the good news. Goals are easily achieved by choosing Creditville as a reliable credit assistance.
Creditville. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.